Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Indus Infra Trust QFY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, the Chief Executive Officer of Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thanks, Rituja, and a very good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust and GR Highways Investment Manager Private Limited, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of the Trust. This is our first earnings call in FY26 for the Q4 FY25. Just a quick update on the acquisitions made by your Trust during the Q4 25. In March 25, we acquired 100% of GR Galgalia-Bahadurganj Highway Private Limited, boosting our HAM assets from 8 to 9. We have also received one more proposal from GR Infra to acquire one of their HAM assets, and necessary diligence for the same is going on. We'll keep you posted on that as well. As on March 31, 25, the Trust assets have an average balance life of approximately 11.4 years. For the same period, the outstanding annuities of the project SPV stood at approximately 7,336 crores, and 59 of the total 270 annuities have been received on time. Moving on to distributions, both the Board of Directors of the Investment Manager in its board meeting held on 7th May 2025 have declared a DPU of rupees 2.25 for Q4 FY25, comprising interest of 0.96 rupees per unit, which is 96 paisa per unit, dividend of rupees 1.05 paisa per unit, and a return of capital of rupees 24 paisa per unit. A record date for the current distribution has been fixed on 12th of May 2025. Including the current announced DPU of rupees 2.25 per unit since listing, our cumulative DPU at the end of fourth quarter stands at rupees 14.2 per unit, against the guidance given of 11.5 per unit at the time of IPO. The total distribution will amount to rupees 628.97 crores. We reaffirm that we are committed not only to meeting the guidance given at the time of listing of our InvIT, but also striving to deliver accretive yield to our unit holders. On the sectoral highlights, I think the government is committed to building world-class national highways infrastructure across the country, which is evident from the fact that NHAI has constructed 5,614 kilometers of national highways in FY25 against their target construction of 5,150 kilometers. However, total award during the year were comparatively muted. The central unit's budget for fiscal 25-26 has allocated the CapEx of almost 1,121,000 crores, which is 3.1% of the GDP, including CapEx of 272,000 crores towards the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways. We believe that India's Union Budget for FY25-26 aims to catalyze economic development, enhance connectivity, and underscore the strategic commitment to infrastructure-led growth, aligning with the nation's vision of becoming a developed economy by 2047. It is my firm belief that InvITs are expected and will continue to play a greater role to garner private capital for development of national highways in the short as well as medium and long term. As per latest available data, InvITs have raised almost 1.6 lakh crores from various investors, including capital market, since FY29, which implies that investors are increasingly viewing InvITs as a credible income-generating and a low-risk investment vehicle. I'm confident that InvITs in India have proven to be the vehicles of economic growth, financial innovation, and nation building. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that our steadfast commitment to delivering long-term sustainable value to our unit holders while actively contributing to India's infrastructure development story. With a strong asset base, visibility of future acquisitions, disciplined financial management, and a clear growth strategy, Indus Infra Trust is well positioned to capitalize on emerging opportunities and continue its journey as a trusted platform for infrastructure investments. I would again like to thank all of you for your continued support and confidence in our vision. We look forward to updating you on our progress in the coming quarters. Now, without taking much of your time, I'll now pass it on to Harshil, who will talk you through the financial details. before we open up for questions. Thanks. Over to you, Harshit.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q4 FY 2025 performance on a standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was 175 crores. Dividend received during the quarter from the SPVs was around 198 crores. Out of this, 17.1 crores was utilized for distribution during the last quarter. The dividend income during the quarter was higher on account of 5 annuity payments received during this quarter, including the first annuity payment post acquisition of Aligarh Kanpur project. With respect to EBITDA, adjusted for the impairment value for the quarter was 367 odd crores. The impairment was on account of the amount cash upstreamed by the SPVs to the trust. On a standalone basis, the total borrowing at the trust level stands at 1,750 crores and the interest cost on the same during the quarter was around 35 odd crores. The decrease in the interest cost as compared to the last quarter was on account of the reduction in borrowing cost in result of the reduction in repo rate. The tax outflows on a standalone level is only on the other income, which is earned by the trust. Coming to the consolidated financials, during the quarter, the total income was 268 odd crores, consisting of 251 crores from revenue from operations and other income of around 17.5 crores. The revenue from operation includes finance income of 186 crores and balances towards revenue from contracts, which is basically prior period claims, change of scope, O&M expense, O&M income. The increase in the finance income is primarily on account of prior period GST claim received on the annuities for 3 SPVs. On a consolidated basis, the total debt at InvIT as well as SPV is 2,144 crores, which includes 394 crores of external debt at Galgalia Bahadurganj project, which we acquired in the month of March. Coming to the NDCF, the project SPVs had declared a total amount of 410 crores to the trust, and the breakup for the same is dividend income of 190 odd crores, interest income of 175 odd crores and repayment of debt or return of capital in the form of 44.30 crores. Post adjusting for finance cost, DESRA reserve, trust level expenses and the consideration paid for acquisition of Galgalia Bahadurganj project, the NCD the NDCF at the trust level works out to 99.66 crores, resulting in a distribution of 2.25 rupees per unit. The breakup of the same was already covered by Amit earlier. The record date for the distribution is May 12, 2025. Thank you, and we are open for questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddhesh Chaudhary from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, first of all, on the DPU for FY26, this year we got listed in March 24 and we have distributed 14.2 rupees. So if I annualize it, it is coming to around 13.1 or 13.2 rupees for 12 months period. So given that, now next year, what should be the guidance for the DPU for the next 12 months?
So if you see, during the year we acquired 2 assets, so I think with acquisition of those 2 assets, I think of course our DPU has also bumped up. So I think this year we are looking to distribute of around 12.5 rupees for the year.
12.5, okay. So this will slightly drop compared to this last year.
Actually, it's in the same range because if you see, you know, in our case, interest on annuities on the balance concession, right, that also plays a significant part of the inflow. And all of us are aware that, you know, there's a 50 bps reduction already. So because of that, there's and since out of our 9 HAM assets, 8 actually as of now, linked to the bank rate, which is bank rate plus 3% is what we are receiving from NHAI. So I think if you consider that, I think 12.5 against whatever number you calculate, which is 13.2%, I think it's almost in the same range. And also, when we acquired assets from GR, that time the surplus cash was also available post acquisitions. So, some part of those surplus cash were also distributed. So what I think that maybe this year will be as a what we get during the year, the distribution is higher than the last year because there's not much surplus cash which is available now for distribution. Yeah.
How much would have been that the surplus cash in this 14.2 rupees till now?
Could be around, say, around the first distribution what we had done, for the March quarter, which was March 24. We had done a distribution of 3 rupees. You can say that was almost, from the surplus only.
Okay. Okay. So adjusting for that, basically you were at 11 or maybe annualized 10 rupees, and that is going up to 12.5 rupees for this year.
Difficult to do actually, that point-to-point calculation because there's some surplus cash, some annuity would have come in, some towards would have gone through, O&M. But if you see that, if you compare to last year, I think from the surplus cash available as well as the annuity which is being accrued and received, I think, we are a little higher than the last year.
Okay, okay. And so what would be the absolute reduction, let's say, on the total for these 9 assets, for every 25 basis point reduction, what is the reduction in the overall flow that we get from NHAI?
So, see, in case if you see now, currently our leverage is around 30%, right? So, whatever reduction is happening, basically, we are able to absorb only 30% and, or rather pass on to 30% and 70% we need, we are absorbing. But in terms of, if I say that maybe in terms of amount, a 25 bps reduction, ballpark in terms of NDCF, if I do a ballpark match, is around somewhere 50 to, around 50 to 60 crores.
This is net of the interest cost benefit that we have, right?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
This is net of the interest cost benefit.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. And secondly, so as we will scale and acquire more assets, then we will increase our debt. So our natural hedge in a way will increase, right?
That's right. That's correct.
And sir, on the asset acquisition side, now this year we have done this recent one that we announced. Then what is the sort of the guidance for asset acquisition for FY26 and 27?
For this fiscal year, asset acquisition guidance is almost including GR and non-GR. I think we should acquire 5 to 6 assets this year.
Okay. So that would be quite significant, right? I mean, compared to last year.
Absolutely.
And the leverage ratio, sir, from the current 30%, where can we reach?
If we don't raise any equity, I think the leverage ratio should touch around 55% odd.
Okay. Understood. Understood. That's all from my side.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and 1 now. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what would our equity IRR be for the latest asset that we've acquired?
The equity IRR which we acquired the last asset?
Yes, the latest asset that we, the latest asset that we acquired, correct. That way.
That at the trust level was working around I think 12.5%.
And this was before the 25 bps rate cut?
No, this was after 25 bps rate cut.
Okay, okay. So, sir, you had, in the last call, you had guided that, you know, after the acquisition of the first asset, our equity, I mean, for the unit holders, the IRR was about 11.85%. Now, since
That's
then,
right.
there have been two rate cuts and there has been one more asset acquisition. So, now, where does that number stand at after 11.85, now, after the rate cuts and after the new asset?
See, that number was actually stands at around 12.12. To be precise. So 1185 and post this asset acquisition of Galgalia Bahadurganj, that actually, you know, came up to 12.12.
Okay, but then after that there has been rate cut as well. So there would have been
one rate
downwards.
Cut. One rate cut after that. One rate cut.
One rate. Okay, yeah. so now it's 12.12 after both the rate cuts and the acquisition.
12.12 was, sir, before one rate cut. After this 12.12, one rate cut was happened, which is in the month of April. Because what we acquired was on the 28th of March, so the last week of March.
Okay, got it. And the guidance that you've given for 12.5, does that assume of the asset acquisition that we are doing, or that would be like anything extra coming out of that would be bonus?
It assumes one more asset which we are targeting to acquire, say by month June or July, and post that, basically if any asset acquisition, you know, that depends, you know, what kind of rate we get, what kind of discounting we get. But I think one more ROFO asset, if I consider that, you know, which we should do by say June or July, depending on when we get the NHA NOC and other NOCs, I think, you know, that is the guidance what we can give and what should be able to meet.
Got it, got it. And so I see the payout, I mean the LDCF slide, we have paid out I think some 225 crores from our internal accruals, whereas I thought we were supposed to fund the newer acquisitions purely through debt. So
no, that is not the case. That was not the case because what we are seeing the optimum capital structure, and because you know we have a very healthy pipeline. So I don't want to just have my, you know, the entire debt. So there's a, say, target leverage what we have in mind. Now, we always acquire assets. We acquire assets with, you know, that target leverage so that, you know, we are not reaching the leverage threshold very soon because we have almost very high pipeline of almost 6-7 assets of this year. So I'll rather use more in a more prudent way those debt threshold rather than, you know, just using it the first, second acquisition itself.
Got it. Makes sense. So in the future acquisition, now that we are planning to do, I think, around 5-6, but there is also a, you know, a rate cut that is expected of another 50 bps. So in this scenario, how are you like ensuring that the unit holder's interests are protected? Because if we go with, say, a 12% equity IRR now, but if there is a rate cut later, then that affects our returns. So in this case, are we targeting a higher IRR given that the rate cut is imminent?
No, IRR is going to be in the same range, but since we have a proper leverage room which needs to be, you know, exploited to do this acquisition, I think the guidance we have, what we have given, is going to be, you know, met from that. So through a proper combination of using that leverage plus the IRR what we are targeting, because of course we are targeting some non-GR assets as well. So there are IRRs could be, target IRR could be more different. So the culmination of those higher IRRs plus using leverage, I think should be able to take us to the guidance what we have given.
Okay. Okay. And for the newer acquisitions as well, when we have to raise debt, we can assume the similar debt rates that we have, I think 7.6% right now. So this
7.6, I think, because we will endeavor to do it better, for the future.
Okay. So it will only get better. It should not...
Yeah, we will endeavor to get it better. Not higher than that for sure. We'll try to better it. But of course, that will be a function of, you know, market, liquidity, geopolitical situation, so many things. But we would want to, you know, basically better it than 7.6.
Got it. At both sides, when the repo rate is cut, so the benefit is, I mean, the benefit and impact is immediate, like both on the interest on annuity and on the interest repayments that we have to make.
Yes,
The impact of the repo rate is immediate. Okay. So there's no lag there. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Got it. And sir, could you just quantify what is the size of these five or six assets that we are targeting? What would their enterprise value be? I'm just trying to calculate what our enterprise value could be as at the end of FY26. So some rough number.
Around 4,000 to 4,200 crores.
4,000 to 4,200 crores. Okay. So and our current, I think, number enterprise value is.
It's 7,000 crores.
What's the current? 7, so it goes to around 11,000.
11, yeah, 11,500. Net of distribution, it should be in the range of around 10,500 to 11,000 crores. That's what we think.
And you are saying we'll be about 55% debt to AUM, so about 5,500 crores debt, roughly.
Ballpark, yeah, you can say that. Yes.
Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Siddhesh Chaudhary from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the situation in terms of the new road projects, so we have seen lull in the activity in terms of awarding new road projects across the sector. So any color or any thoughts that you can share on why it is so low? And because it's been like for the last five, six quarters, we haven't seen much of a project announcement. So how do you see that shaping up from a sectoral perspective?
So of course, the FY25, of course, because of the election year and the other reasons, right? So the awarding has been lesser. While towards the fag end, late Q3 and Q4, we saw some awards through which was NHAI through MoRTH and NHAI projects. But yeah, of course, in terms of value, I would say that was still lower than what it was in, say, FY23 or maybe 2022. But or 2024, rather. But this year, I think, again, what we are hearing that government should start awarding because there are a lot of DPRs and all what we are hearing is being done. There are a lot of expressway economic corridors are being looked at by government agencies to do some studies on. And maybe we can see that maybe fag end of, again, Q3, Q4, we can expect the decent award. So if that shapes up the way what we are envisaging, then of course, we'll see more projects being awarded. And then again, the market's opening for the investors like us to acquire. But however, the strong pipeline what we have under our ROFO, as well as the what we are evaluating non-GR assets, I think we see a decent growth in terms of addition of assets to our inventory. We don't see much challenge, at least for the next two, three years.
Given that most of these players, including your own sponsor, we are not seeing much of a growth in their order books. So will it not sort of lead them to not be that forthcoming to download the assets to the InvIT or wanting to have a higher price because they don't see their balance sheet expanding with new projects? So the propensity to sell down might be much lower in the absence of new projects. So how do you see that?
No, so actually, of course, it will be a function of the individual strategy at the company's level, at the group level. But generally, what we see that if there are not much, say, awards happening and it's going to the, say, not to the first, maybe second-rung players who are maybe taking it, say, lower than BPC of NHAI, because we can see some maybe degree of aggression in the off-late hours, maybe they will have to recycle their capital in terms of, you know, either going for the next round of awards or maybe looking at some other, you know, maybe, you know, some other sectors than highways. Like if you see that any top highway companies for the last 2-3 years, everybody has gone into, you know, diversification. And again, diversification will call for the capital, right? Because everybody doesn't have that kind of capital so that they can go divert, do the diversion. So I think recycling of capital as an overall theme will keep getting played out. And on account of that, you will keep seeing the, you know, the churning in their capital, which in turn will, you know, push them to come to, you know, offload the HAM assets. Now, that is one bit. However, the variability in the quality, that will again, you know, remain a challenge, and that will basically add as, you know, as a prudent buyer, we'll have to keep looking for the quality so that, you know, when we see, when we take it, it actually becomes an, you know, addition of an asset to our portfolio. And of course, you know, then, and of course, you know, as we have always maintaining that, you know, that should be yield accretive to the current yield what we are trading at. So yes, I think as an overall individual strategy level, somebody could think that, oh, there's not much award, so let me, you know, hold on to maturity or wait till the time the award comes. But at the same time, I think as a diverse, you know, diversification and maybe the second rank players who will need their capital to churn again to bid for the new projects, I think we can keep seeing the supply of the HAM assets to the market, or maybe our BOT assets.
Okay. And finally, you know, your tax-free sort of a component, which is mainly emanating from the return of capital, if I look at for the entire year, that was maybe around 5-odd%, but I think for this quarter, it has been higher at 10-odd%. So going forward, since the dividend and the interest that we are receiving are taxable, but the return of capital, I think, is tax exempt to the limit of issue price. So how do you see this mix for FY26 and beyond? Should it be in that 5% range only of the overall payout or higher?
No, see, if you see that structurally, I think, you know, at the time of IPO also, we had, you know, basically we had tried to explain to investors that maybe the initial years it will be more interest and dividend because of structural reasons. You have, you know, positive net worth, so of course you can just, you know, push up the profit in terms of dividend till the time the net worth is positive. Once it becomes negative, then you of course start only paying through the, you know, interest, and then of course you repay the debt. But I think so structurally, I think in the initial years what we had said that it was going to be, you know, higher. But I think this year onwards going forward, I think what we see that repayment of capital is going to be somewhere around, say, around 25-30% should be there, you know, as an overall distribution, you know, amount.
Oh, so that will meaningfully go up in this year.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then should it stay the same, or this is just a 1 year?
It should stay in the same area, because again, you know, you see, you need to understand, we will again keep acquiring new assets also, right? So those new assets, yeah, again will have some positive cash flows, which we have to, on an incremental basis, will get distributed in form of dividend, then interest, then repayment. That's why I think, you know, as a structure, if you say in the first 2-3 years, till the most of the, you know, the, or say substantial acquisition happens, is going to hover around this. And then maybe it may increase after, say, 2-3 years.
Okay, so for now, for a few years, it may remain at 25-odd%, and then it will...
Year and next year, it won't be this percent, and maybe year after that, maybe we'll be able to give better guidance in next year, when we'll see our asset pipeline and growth, how it, so you know, how it's basically panning out.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We cannot hear you, sir. We'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, so the ROFO agreement includes BOT assets as well for us, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And does it include the transmission? Some transmission assets are also there in the GR. That is also included?
No, that's not, because that's the different class itself. So we are not looking as of now to include transmission assets in this InvIT. We may have to take a wider call whether that those assets should be part of this InvIT or there should be a separate InvIT. That, of course, that's GR's prerogative. I wouldn't know, to be honest. But if any BOT assets of road in road sector, yes, that will be the part of that is part of the ROFO also.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Just wanted this clarification. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainam Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. So thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, how is the competitive intensity to acquire a new asset, and how do you foresee going this going forward, given that, last 2 years, the bidding from NHAI has been subdued? So do we see that the reduced TAM leading to an increased competitive intensity to acquire a third-party asset?
Yeah, definitely. If, to be candid enough, I accept that, acquiring a third-party asset, in a competitive environment remains a challenge. And you need to, or you have to compete with the, likes of, big guys as well as the newer ones who, who actually on the street. But at the same time, I think we have some inherent advantage because we are, a developer-led InvIT. So we have some advantage of understanding asset and how optimum way we can maintain those assets for the next balance life. So I think that advantage actually, plays out in our favor. So while there are challenges, but I think with that advantage, we somehow, overcome those challenges to a certain extent, to a greater extent. So challenges are there, but at the end of the day, some advantage because of that, we are seeing decent opportunities for us.
Okay. The proposed asset tax acquisition that you've talked about, what percent will be third party in that?
See, to be honest, right now what we are looking at is 6 assets. 2 are going to be non-GR if everything goes well, and 4 is going to be GR. So that way you see is 33, 67, 2/3, 1/3. In terms of value, I think it's going to be, according to me, it's going to be more 30-70. 70 is going to be GR, 30 GR. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you the valuation now, but ballpark, I think in terms of BPC, that should be, 30-70 is going to be broad range. And that may increase maybe next year.
Understood. And by when can we expect this deal to finalize?
I think all of you are aware how M&A deals happens, so difficult to attribute a timeline. But if you ask me, we are working towards so that, we can maybe we should be able to give this good news to you guys maybe this quarter itself. But if everything goes well, that is the timeline. If it gets increased, if it's, basically gets elongated, maybe.
Understood.
So, maybe in the near term, couple of months. Yeah, you should.
Okay. And last question, can you give a broad breakup of DPU? You've talked about 12.5, that is the expectation for FY26, broad breakup in terms of dividend.
Broad breakup of dividend and interest and capital. So, I think capital, I said around 25-30%. In terms of dividend, it should be around lesser, around 15%, and the balance is going to be interest.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, am I audible?
Yeah, Nikhil, you are.
Yeah. So the of these two GR assets that I think these were part of the earlier four assets which were to be transferred. So we have a guarantee of almost 12.5% IRR on this, right?
No.
There is no such guarantee. It can be lower.
See, there was no guarantee per se. I again want to reaffirm that. What we had that time actually negotiated with GR that any asset we are going to acquire should be yield accretive. That time we had thought that depending on the how the market situations are going to be, I think we should be trading at the kind of yield what we are trading. So any incremental asset acquisition should be, you know, if you do at least around 12% kind of range, I think that will be yield accretive. That's how we had sort of, you know, discussed with GR that if next 3-4 assets, can we do at least minimum of that 12%. No asset is acquired for 12.5%, to be honest. It was always 12% what we acquired,
mm-hmm.
the last two assets. The third asset what we are acquiring also, again, should be in that range. The valuation discussion has not yet happened with GR, but should be in that range. But next assets onwards, is it going to be the 12%? Answer is no. We'll have to again negotiate. And we negotiate with GR in the same range that we negotiate with the third party. So, but however, my yield distribution guidance, what I have given, as I had stated earlier as well, that will be a function of, you know, my third party optimizing on my, you know, leverage threshold, plus what I get from GR. And last two, three acquisitions and the third acquisition, what we'll do, that will be again was included within that range what we have done. So at the NBIT level, you get some value. So that's why, you know, this 12.5 looks, you know, achievable to me.
Okay. And so you mentioned that the total EV will be somewhere around 42 billion. So of this, I think the GR assets itself are around 18, 19 billion. So are the other, I mean, third party assets smaller in size?
See, I maybe would want to would not want to divulge those details now. That
okay.
smaller anyway, you know, we do this acquisition and you'll get to know about the EVs.
Sure. And sir, I just want to understand how much of the internal accruals will be used for equity portion, or will we go for equity rate?
No, so I think incremental basis difficult to give you percentage now because we keep getting annuities. But I think incrementally, you know, we are going to acquire, as I said, right? Since we are going to optimize the threshold, leverage threshold, which is from 30% to 55% on an increased EV basis. I think the predominantly money you can say is going to be coming from the leverage itself.
Okay, majority of it is going to come from leverage. Okay, sure.
That's right.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Siddhesh Chaudhary from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
So this 12% IRR that we are talking for further acquisition, this is equity IRR, right?
That's right.
Okay. And sir, I think when we first posted our results, we were at 114 odd in terms of the NAV. And this quarter, I think we are closer to 115.9 or thereabouts. So, I mean, is there a path to sort of increase this NAV, and is there any guidance or color that you can provide on the thing?
You are saying guidance on NAV?
Yeah. I mean, how do you see this NAV should be, especially because we will be bulking up a lot in terms of the balance sheet. How do you see this number going?
See, NAV, to be honest, it's difficult to give you an NAV number because, you know, NAV will be function of how much my internal accruals I'm going to utilize, right? How I'm going to discount that incremental asset, basically what valuation we are going to do, what is going to be my market, you know, basically variables, which is beta, which is going to be my risk-free, which is, so I think difficult to give you an NAV number now. I can't give you an NAV number. But I think if you do the ballpark maths, the kind of leverage what we are talking about, around 55% and the asset acquisition of AUM, I think we can deduce that number.
Okay. And now that you have already utilized this internal cash, I think more or less 100% of the acquisition will be funded by debt, right?
See, I never said that. I think some things you'll have to leave to investment manager to use their, their wisdom to look at the market and, to take call on the market variables. But I've been maintaining that. I think the predominantly is going to be coming from, by utilizing threshold my leverage. But of course, some part of it will be, funded from the internal accrual as well. However, the guidance what we have given will not be, will be unimpacted irrespective of the internal accruals I use.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for closing comments.
Thanks, Prithuja. I'd like to once again thank you everyone for joining us today and for your continued trust in Indus Infra Trust as we remain focused on operational excellence, our strategic growth, and maximizing value for all our unit holders through consistent and transparent execution. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, again. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.